Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. This evening we're going to look at an episode in the Old Testament that tells us, that shows us something. Sometimes, matter of fact, most times, God's way is not our way. We don't always understand His way. We don't always agree with His way. But His way is always right. But it is most of the time, it is the opposite of what we would want to do. Naaman was a man, not of the nation of Israel, but of Syria. But we're going to see here in chapter 5 of 2 Kings that Naaman had a problem that he was trying, that he had to, that he wanted help with. And through the help of a young girl from Israel, he was told that Elisha was in Israel, and Elisha could help him because Elisha was a man of God. So let's go in chapter 5, verse 1 of 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. First, I want to talk a little bit about Naaman. I want you to notice he was a great man. He was very important, and he was blessed. It says he was honorable, and that God had actually delivered Syria by his hand. And he was a mighty man in valor and in war. But you see, Naaman had a problem. Naaman was a leper. Leprosy is still in existence today. It is a very dreadful disease. It is a disease that actually kills your flesh, your especially the extremities, your fingers and your hands and your feet suffer most from it. But it basically eats at your flesh. And there was something else that most of the time, The leper was also set apart from everybody else because leprosy was a contagious disease. But Naaman, being a man of such power and such honor in Syria, he probably was still allowed to be among other people and things of that nature. But he had this problem. Everything about Naaman looked great. Everything about Naaman seemed to be really good for Naaman. Naaman had a good thing going. His life, he seemed to be he was popular, he was powerful, all these things. He was probably very rich. But Naaman had leprosy. Sometimes in scriptures, leprosy can represent sin. Not always, but it can. I would like for you to consider this. No matter how things look in our life, no matter how great things may appear, we are still dealing with sin. There is the issue of sin. The perfectly born baby, when our baby is born, he'll look great. He'll be perfect in our eyes. But you know what? That baby will have sin that we can't see, but it will be there nonetheless. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman had a problem. He probably looked at his life and said, everything else is great. Why do I have to have this leprosy? Why do I have to be a leper? He probably didn't understand why this was. Let's continue on in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Here, the king apparently thought a lot of Naaman. He loved Naaman. But I want you to notice something here. Who brought the message that there was someone who could help Naaman with his leprosy? It was a little girl. It was a little girl who had been caught captive, taken captive, and was serving in Naaman's house. And she apparently loved Naaman too, even though he was her captor, even though he was the one that had her as his servant, took away her freedom. She said, I would that he were in Samaria where Elisha is, because Elisha could heal him of his leprosy. So they told the king of Syria, and the king of Syria said, Go, Naaman, take all this money and all these things, all these changes of garments, down and find, go to the king of Israel, take this letter to him that says, Heal Naaman, my servant. The king of Israel was devastated by this because he knew he couldn't do it. See, he couldn't do anything for Naaman. He was afraid that this was a trick by the king of Syria, so that when the king couldn't do it, that the king of Syria would then bring war on Israel. That's what he says here when he says, See how he doth want a quarrel with me. He seeketh a quarrel against me. The king couldn't do anything about Naaman's problem. Neither could the king of Syria, neither could the king of Israel, neither could the little girl, but she brought the message of who could. She said that Elisha, the man of God, could take care of, heal Naaman's leprosy. Continuing in verse 8, And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, this is pretty interesting to me. Several things here. Naaman came in all this pomp and circumstance. He came as a very honorable man out of Syria. And he came to Israel to be healed. And Elisha didn't even come out to him. Elisha didn't even come out of his house. He sent a messenger to him. He said, Go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. The Jordan was the river in Israel. And we're going to see how Naaman responded to this. But Naaman was wroth in verse 11 and went away and said, Behold, I thought, He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Excuse me. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. God, the prophet of God sent a message to Naaman. He said, Go wash in the Jordan. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. But notice Naaman's reaction to this. Naaman's reaction to this was, How could he do this? I expected him. Notice he said, I thought he would come out to me and call upon his God and put his hand over the place of leprosy and that it would be recovered, that I would be healed. See, Naaman expected an exciting, exhilarating example. See, he wanted Elisha to do what he wanted him to do. He said, "I thought that he would do this." And then he said, "Washing the Jordan? Aren't the rivers of my home? The rivers of my home are much better than any of the waters here in Israel. Why couldn't I have just washed in them?" I'll tell you why he couldn't wash in those, because God didn't say wash in those. God didn't say go wash in the Abana River or the Pharpar River. He said wash in the Jordan. So that's why Naaman couldn't go wash in those. Verse 13, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. That was Elijah's response to Naaman wanting to give him gifts. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, This is Elijah speaking to Naaman, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Notice something here. God's way was not Naaman's way. Naaman had an idea of what he expected here. He expected the servant or the man of God, this prophet, to come out and make some great show of healing Naaman. But the prophet sent a messenger and said, Go wash in the Jordan seven times. And Naaman got angry. He said, No way, that's terrible. Why would I go wash in the Jordan when I can go wash in the rivers in my own country? And then his servants came to him with good advice. They said, if he had told you, if the prophet had told you to go do some great thing, you would have done it. Why can't you do this small thing of going and washing in this river of Jordan? So Naaman agreed, and he went down. And I want you to know that if he had not gone down to Jordan, he would have retained his leprosy. He still would have been a leper because he disobeyed God. But when he went down, he came out, and his flesh was clean, like unto a child. He went back to Naaman. I want you to realize something here. After God made this difference in his life, Naaman wanted to worship God. Naaman wanted to serve the Lord after God had made this difference in his life. You see, Naaman had been through his... No, I don't know how long Naaman had been a leper. Some amount of time. But you see, because of this, because of the difference the Lord made in his life, he realized that there was no other God. Rimmon, in that his master, his king, served, was not a God. The God was in Israel. Naaman knew now that God, there was only one true God, and he wanted to worship that God. So we see after that Naaman went home. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A lot of times when we speak to people about Jesus, when we speak to them about salvation, they say that can't be all there is to it. Naaman did something similar to that. He took the word of Isaiah, the word of the Lord, and he said, that can't be all there is to it. It's got to be something else. A lot of people look at the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ and they say, that can't be all there is to it. But you see here what God says. He says, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So are God's ways higher than our ways. We have trouble understanding. We have trouble accepting God's way. But you see, if Naaman had not listened to those servants and accepted God's way, he would have still been a leper, suffering from that leprosy. The same for you and I. If we had not accepted God's way of salvation, we would still be in sin. We would still be dead in our sins and our trespasses. God's way often seems to be foolish to the world. Naaman probably thought what Elisha told him to do was kind of foolish, don't you think? Kind of seems that way, that he thought that was kind of a foolish thing to do. I want you to understand, I am not here, and we are not here as a church, to answer everyone's problems. We are not here to take care of everything, solve everything for everyone. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is not even to save anyone. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is like the maid that was there in Naaman's household. We're to share the message of the one who has the help. Who can help? Who can save? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Notice here the contrast between the wisdom of the world, our wisdom, and God's wisdom. There's no real comparison. My wisdom falls so far short of the wisdom of God that it is almost unfathomable how far apart the two things are. My wisdom and His wisdom. His wisdom is so much greater. And He has taken the foolish things, the things that the world considers to be foolishness, such as what I'm doing right now, to send the message of salvation. Preaching to the world is foolishness. But it pleased God by that foolishness to save them that believe. When this church takes the message of God, we'll be considered foolish by the world. Because you see, the world doesn't have the wisdom of God. Our message may be received with scoffing, anger, hatred, despite all these things. But you see, our responsibility, again, is not to save, but is to give the message. And you see, we're not to change the message either. It's the preaching of the cross that is the power of salvation. The preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the message we take. No matter how foolish the world may think we are, no matter how foolish the world may even think that that way, the way of the cross, that is a foolish thing, we're to take the message, and they make the decision. Naaman had to make the decision whether he would go down into the water of Jordan 7 times. The same way when I speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, each person has to make their decision of whether they will accept Jesus as their Savior, whether they will believe on Him or not. It does not change the message, it changes whether it affects their life. If Naaman had not done what God told him to do, he would have still had the leprosy. If I had not done what God called me to do when He called me into salvation, He drew me to Himself. If I had not accepted Him, that I would still be in that lost, sinful condition. That's the same for everyone. The foolishness of God is wiser than any wisdom I might even pretend to have. Other areas of our life too, we need to understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. We need to trust Him because He always knows what's best for us. He always knows what's right for us. And He loves us unconditionally.